Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 219. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me is back from his epic transcontinental journey, Jonathan Fast. What's up, Jonathan? I think you got that right.
Was it transcontinental? Yeah, it kind of was.
So that's great. And now he's sick. He's got he picked up some of that bird flu.
Yep.
While he was in China, so he got some of that going.
Yep.
There's a reason why they all wear the masks over there, man. You gotta watch out for that bird flu.
I wanna breathe the air, man. I wanna know where I'm at.
All right, so we're gonna have a different show for you this week. The reason being is that life keeps getting interesting. and it keeps throwing curveballs. And I'm not gonna, you know, talk about it. But we're going to do something a little bit different this week where we're going to kind of talk shop. We're not going to do any mailbag questions because, you know, that kind of gets old. And I think it might get old for you guys, too. Just, you know, hearing questions and answers. Instead, John and I are just going to kind of, you know, talk shop about what we've been doing, you know, with our clients or what we've been reading up on. And hopefully, you know, make it into a form where you guys can utilize it in your training or bring it into your, you know, your lifestyle and pick up some tips here and there. I will mention briefly that we do have an off-topic discussion about, of all things Spider-Man. We bring up some crank and John continues to go.
Yeah, I can't help it. I'm sick.
All right, so I just want to just send your hate mail to John at jfastbiceps.com. And
I'll have you know that I am muting myself when I cough.
Good. So let's quickly also mention that, you know, you can always go to thefitcast.com. You can check out that stuff there. Lee is not with us right now. We don't know. She might join us in a little bit. She's running some stuff. She's doing some stuff with her family today. So, maybe. I don't know. Who knows? Do you know, John?
I don't know, Kevin.
Great start to the podcast. So let's talk a little bit about I actually have been getting questions about the –
I hate you. Kevin, I hate you. We have this huge announcement, and you're like just totally just blew right past it.
Well, it's not an – oh, fine. Why don't you take it over, John?
I hate you so much.
Take it over, man.
All right. So here's the story, ladies and gentlemen. We were in Paris, and I've been working on a couple different things. And Mystery Boss has read some of the stuff that I've done too. And it occurred to me that this whole – when I first got this job – I'll back up. When I first got this job, one of the guys, one of his like higher-up guys said, hey, listen, you know, don't mention who you work for, like on the FitCast and the things, you know, they had my resume, they know what I do. You know, it's like just keep it private and whatever. And I said, no problem. And that's why he's always been Mystery Boss. And that's why I've never been able to say anything. But it did occur to me that I've never actually heard it from him. And he's a media guy. He gets in the spotlight a lot. And that's kind of not his way to kind of be secretive about stuff. He's known for being, you know, for his opinions and for being outspoken. So I just kind of said to him, I said, hey, Mystery Boss, I said, I've been working on a couple things here and there, and I've never asked you how I should word my bio. What should I say? Should I say I'm your physical therapist, your personal trainer? What should I say? And he says, oh, I don't know, come up with three different bios, and we'll look at them and, you know, see whichever one you like. Bingo. So, ladies and gentlemen, you faithful FitCast listeners, next week we're revealing who Mystery Boss is. Now, this is exciting for me because I really have wanted to say since I got the job. But what we'd like to do is have a contest, because it'd be kind of boring if I just came out and said it. So we're going to have a contest, and we will reveal Mystery Boss next week. So the contest is guess who Mystery Boss is. Now, if you've been on my Facebook, there's enough stuff. Honestly, there's enough stuff there that you could probably put it together if you were really paying attention. But what we're going to do is this. First, your job is to get on, if you're not already on all three of our Facebooks, me, Kevin, and Lee, go and friend request us now on Facebook. And what we're going to do is we're going to give one hint every day. So it'll go, you know, my Facebook one day, then Kevin's the next day, then Lee's the next, then back to me, so on and so forth for the week. So you'll get a bunch of clues as to who Mystery Boss might be. If you think you have the answer, send it to Kevin, kevin@thefitcast.com. But only one entry is allowed, so make sure that you know if you think that you got it. Don't just send him like a million different guesses. It's going to be one
entry. For a second, let's make sure that we put in the subject line, John Secret Boss. That's J-O-N. Secret Boss, just so I already get enough email as it is. Thanks.
Right. There you go. So it's a single entry, and everyone that gets it right, we're going to put into a drawing. And do we want to talk about what we're going to give away, or Kev?
You said something. You're going to give away a lifetime of online training, right?
Nice. Not exactly, but Well, do we want to say or should
well,
we?
Well, we're going to put together a package. John, Lee, and myself, we're all going to chip in something. You can kind of get a guess of what that might be since all of us except one have some kind of digital product that we offer.
Right. All of us but one.
And I'm sure John has something of value.
I don't know.
Or maybe just like a cash prize. Or
right. But
well, no, John, it literally can't be a cash prize because then we could be held liable for lots of stuff. So,
cash.
Straight cash. And, you know, I'll probably maybe like a box of T-shirts.
Yeah.
Or something like that. But I promise it will be it will be worth in the hundreds of dollars.
There you go. So that's the
retail price.
Yep, that's the game. Guess the Mystery Boss. You've got a week. Get it on all of our Facebooks. When you think you've got it, send in your email to Kevin, and we'll see if you're right.
Can we say that he's in the entertainment business?
No.
Let's go on to the discussion. So one of the first things that I wanted to address was the – you know, I ended up getting a lot of questions. We had John Romanello on a couple weeks back talking about the superhero workout. And – It seems like a lot of people are definitely jumping on the workout. The guys at CP are doing it. And I ended up starting to do it. You know, for generally one of the reasons that John brought up is like, you know, it's one thing or it's a very nice thing to not have to think about programming for yourself for a little bit. And with the way things have been going, you know, I've been like out of time. So, you know, if that's one thing where I don't have to, you know, calculate volume and make sure I put in a deload week and all this stuff, it is kind of nice to just like say, all right, this is the program, go do it. And so far, I think I've done all four workouts once and the first workout I've done twice so far, so I'm like five sessions in. And yeah, it's really good. It's a decent amount of volume. It's definitely if you've done like Chad Waterbury type stuff where it's like 10 sets of three kind of volume, you know, that's definitely part of it. But the cool thing is that they definitely do mix in a couple different aspects of, or I guess just, you know, a couple different templates that a lot of people use for different goals. Like you won't get bored because you do have your like barbell complexes. You do have that first phase where you start off with like, you know, 10 sets of three or something along those lines in terms of sets and reps for the main lifts. And, you know, it's simple. It's straight to the point. You sweat your ass off, you work hard, and it will put you to sleep at night. So, now obviously I don't want to be in the situation where I like read out the workout on the air because that kind of defeats the point of approaching it. But a lot of people did end up picking it up after we talked to John. And so far from like the Facebook and stuff, people really enjoyed it. So if you haven't already, you can always go back to the fitcast.com and you can check out the interview that we did there with John. You'll find out he's a down-to-earth guy. And now that the Jets have signed Plaxico Burress. Now we're going to have even more of a debate when it comes to the NFL season. And we have an agreement that John is going to come on the week of each Patriots-Jets game to do an interview and to talk some SHIT about the
– I'm sorry. Does that spell smack?
It spells shoot.
Right.
Bullshoot. like if you saw it on TV. So I think that's really cool. And, I think, it is kind of cool to talk about what we've been doing for training for a while. And I did definitely post up that thing trying to get my T-spine mobility back, John. That's always a good. And one of the topics that I wanted to bring up was, people who do sit at desks a lot, there are some cool articles out there that talk about, what was it? Mike Robertson wrote like D something, the computer guy or D.
That was a good article.
I think it's a computer guy, which he did on T Nation. I don't remember the exact name for it. But just like throwing some cool stretches or some activations if you do set at a desk. John, do you want to talk about that for a little bit? I definitely have some. Do you have some that you kind of give to your like your distance coaching clients or even to your secret boss?
The benefit of being in person for Mystery Boss is it's in person, but so that's all like mobilizations if needed. But I think for either for a distance client or just for like the typical listener, first and foremost, the foam roller is just a necessity that will absolutely help in loosening up the thoracic spine. It loosens up the muscles there. It gives you a force, kind of like you're self-mobbing, which can be very helpful. But I think other than giving like direct, like, oh, do the, extensions over the chair and blah, 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 I think something that does have to be mentioned is that you're just not going to be able to loosen up the thoracic spine if you don't concurrently work to increase your core strength and your lumbar stability. So that really does boil down to getting back to the hips and getting back to the core, making sure that these things work. Because if they don't, your ability to loosen up the thoracic spine, get proper shoulder and scapular motion is going to be really limited because your body's just going to preferentially move in the same way that it's always moved, which is, probably led to that thoracic stiffening in the first place. Either the stiffness of the T-spine led to poor movement or poor movement led to the T-spine, whatever it is, it doesn't matter, but you've got to fix all those joints above and below. So you've really got to be aware and conscious of what's affecting thoracic spine mobility and why you may be having more difficulty in addressing that if you're not looking at other areas.
I think those are all awesome. And I think some of the bonus things that I would definitely like to throw in there for people who do sit at desk job, these are going to require some equipment. So if you ever seen like the jump stretch bands or and this is really interesting because I got one of my online clients is in the Army and he can only order stuff from Amazon and get it sent overseas to Afghanistan. So I want to say, As I kind of look this up, Amazon has like their own brand of like the jump stretch bands. And the reason why I bring this up is because I think band pull aparts going horizontally and not necessarily overhead, but kind of like doing a, I guess it would be like almost like a reverse fly, but bringing your arms out straight ahead, gripping the band with a pronated grip, so like an overhand grip, and your thumbs are going down towards the ground, and just pulling it apart and pinching your shoulder blades together. Because again, what you kind of see, and this is not necessarily just in people who have like desk jobs, but those that have like overhead athletes tend to have this a lot, like scapular winging. And John, you can probably talk about this a little bit more, but trying to reinforce the scapular retraction because we tend to see, again, a lot of that winging, and that can lead to a lot of shoulder problems.
Absolutely. There's an entire theory on shoulder pain and stability that looks at the winging position. It's called sick scapula. And we really, the scapula is unique in the body because as a bone, there's only a single bony attachment. The scapula is almost entirely controlled by muscle. I mean, in every way, in position, movement, stabilization, everything. And it's really just a loose bone on your back. So the idea is that if there's if there's positional fault, you're affecting an enormous amount of muscle surrounding the scapula, and then, you know, eventually that may turn into pain, dysfunction, you know, whatever the case is. And it's intimately involved in the thoracic spine because it does rest right there on the T-spine and
right
the
on top, baby.
And what happens is if you don't have proper mobility at the thoracic spine, the idea is that you'll have to compensate with a greater range of motion at the shoulder blade, because instead of being able to – and this is just – again, if you look at the gait pattern, if you look at walking, this makes a lot of sense. If I can't rotate at my thoracic spine, I still need to have this arm swing. So I could either walk with no arm swing, which is what – which is fairly unnatural. We're neurally wired to have that arm
swing. Like that chick on Seinfeld.
Right, exactly.
She walks without moving her arms.
Yep. So you're wired to move the arms. We're wired from when we walked on all fours to move the arms. So that's a bit of an unnatural compensation. So what ends up happening is you just get a greater range of motion at the shoulder blade. And because of that, now we're looking at too much mobility without enough stability. You're affecting the ability of the muscles to control the shoulder blade. Things may stiffen up because of that. Things may loosen up because of that. And over time, the idea is that this will eventually cause some pain and dysfunction. That's one scenario. There could be a million others, but that's kind of like your thinking process as to why is the shoulder blade, you know, moving a little too much. And typically what will happen is you're not really looking for too much mobility. You're looking at too much mobility in one side versus the other. So when you find one shoulder blade that's moving a little too much or has some restrictions in movement in other ways, you're going to look at the position of the thoracic spine in compensation for that. You know, why would this, you know, your left shoulder move a lot more than the right per se? And we're talking a lot, like clinically noticeable difference, not just a little bit, because no one is equal side to side. But if that's the case, if you're looking at a greater range of motion and less stability, more winging, whatever it is you find, look at the rotation of the thoracic spine on that side. You may find that you're actually rotated towards that side, which means that the shoulder blade has to compensate with greater protraction. You may find a side bend, which means that the shoulder blade will be elevated. You can find a lot of different things, and you can trace it to the thoracic spine.
The couple pieces of equipment that I wanted to bring up, those bands that, again, it's nice. A lot of people have access to Amazon. The only reason why I bring that up, there's definitely other places where you can get like exercise bands from. But if you want to get them on Amazon, the one I would definitely recommend for stuff like the band pull aparts, and you can even use these obviously for X-band walks or, band assisted chin-ups. But the size that I would recommend is the half inch band, and it would be the SPRI Super Band. And you can find that on Amazon right now. They only have like four left, but they run about $10, where they can get pretty expensive if you go elsewhere. And if you are one of those people that has the Prime shipping, you can get it sent to you for free. The other thing I wanted to mention was, and I hope my dog's chewing on a bone. I hope that doesn't get picked up so much. I'm sorry for the people that hate having dogs, but he's going to chew on that bone. But the Theracanes. Theracane was great like a couple of years ago when I first discovered it. But there is a much, much better tool called the Solomax self-massage tool. And it is just one word, Solomax. And it is awesome for just doing like upper back massage. And again, if you have any kind of knots and upper trap area, you can definitely hit on those. And it is something that will just help you relax, because a lot of people, unfortunately, when they sit at their desk, they're not only bringing those shoulders forward, but they tend to shrug. Whether it's because they're, the ergonomics of their desk are poor, or they're just like, if you get stressed out, you tend to tense up your shoulders and shrug. So this will definitely help with that. So those are two pieces of equipment that you can always have. And if you don't want to go Solomax route, you can just get like a lacrosse ball and go against the wall. This is obviously a little bit more specific for it. But we only kind of talked about the upper body, but obviously making sure that you're doing stuff like pec stretches. Another one of the things I love to do, if you can find a corner of a wall or a again, you can use that band as well and do like no money drills. Mm-hmm. Which again, you're kind of looking for that retraction there, and you're also stretching the pec at the same time. So you can use that as like one of your bang for your buck exercises. I throw it a lot, and just like without a band and with a band in my clients' programs, and it tends to help a ton when you're opening up that T-spine and also making sure you know those pecs aren't so tight that when they actually go to do anything, like it's almost hard to get them in the right position because their shoulders are just already pulled so far forward. But
yeah,
we didn't even talk about hips. Or hips, like hips and ankles, are obviously a big part of the sedentary lifestyle too.
Yeah, I mean it all is everything is. I mean that's
A kid in the UK just died last week because he was playing 12 hours of Halo a day, sitting down, and he didn't get up for 12 hours straight, and he died of like a deep vein thrombosis, and they're blaming it on sitting down and playing video games. And
Jesus, are you serious?
Yeah, like a teenager.
Oh my God.
That's where we're at, man.
That's
like, I'll be the first one to like defend like, oh, you know, video games are terrible, but you got to be able to get your kid off the couch and tell him to at least move around a little bit.
Oh my God, that's insane.
And also a woman woke up today and she thought she was 15 years old. She's 34 years old and now she only has her memories from 15 and younger. Is that nuts? Awesome. I love the human body. All right. So let's continue to talk about a couple other things. John, what has really been interesting you lately? Because you go into tons of news stories. If people follow you on Facebook, it seems like you read every newspaper or you have at least some kind of Google alerts going on.
I do have some alerts going on. I do.
So, I mean, what kind of trends are you seeing or what kind of things have been popping up lately?
Besides plaques signing to the Jets.
Which is okay because the Patriots are still better.
I don't think anything has been too crazy. I mean, I haven't looked crazy because of the month. I love when you just throw these things out there to me.
Well, what about we get a lot of questions from people who like want our – want our opinions on like trends, like articles on Teen Asian or articles that are on Elite or Strength Coach. I mean, those are the main kind of places. And obviously Men's Health still has, a really good lineup of articles and authors over there. So, has anything kind of stood out? There's definitely been some interesting stuff on like Teen Asian. I don't know if you read like that John Bros article about not warming up at all before lifting.
No, I didn't.
Let me pull it up real quick. Ooh. Why don't you talk about something?
Yeah, actually, well, it was something we were talking about earlier today. Brett Contreras was in the recent issue of the Strength and Conditioning Journal. With an article about crunches, actually. I'm not going to really talk about it too much because he's not here to talk about it. But it was interesting, at least. I'll say that I don't agree with it entirely, but I thought that it was a very interesting, opinion with a literature review on not really about – not so much for me about what crunches can do for you, but more just taking a look at where the literature is weak and where we don't really have a great idea of what we need to do for spinal health. And I think that's certainly true. I mean, we have a lot of ideas about it, and you look at the work of Stuart McGill and others, but there's still a huge disparity in what we think we know and what's actual truth about spine health and how we need to treat our bodies in order to best protect ourselves from injury. So that was actually something that had caught my attention, and it was a pretty impressive article. It was a very nicely put together thing, but I think that'd be an interesting discussion to have with Brett. But there you go. So anyone that can gain access to that is a scholarly journal, so you do have to be a subscriber or purchase it, but very, very cool stuff.
We'll definitely have to have Brett back on the show at some point to talk about that. Now that he's a published,
published, yep,
researcher.
Well, he's getting his PhD, so
out in New Zealand, right?
Yes,
I believe he's out in New Zealand.
New Zealand.
So, I won't talk about this article because I didn't really prepare to talk about it, but John Rose is a BROZ. I mean, he's had some stuff on T-Nation. Actually, Brett did a pretty long article about him on T-Nation. It definitely caused a stir, across the fitness internet landscape, where talking about people who, he basically doesn't foam roll. He doesn't, do any stretching. He doesn't do any dynamic warm. He just goes in and lifts. That's the guy who's ridiculously strong and benches three times a week, thinks you should train every single day, and there's no such thing as overtraining. And I think this gets...
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And I think the reason why I find this stuff, interesting is because, again, there is like a certain population on the internet that's be like, oh, I should do this. And no, you should, like, the general everyday dude who's not like living at a gym should never, you can definitely take some of that advice and see what you can apply. But the idea of following a program like that and just being like, the 18-year-old that's still, lifting in the basement, or is still not considered to have a high training IQ, or if you want to call it training age. I think a lot of that stuff was, I'll even throw it out to the audience. I'd be really interested to get some feedback from what people took from his stuff, because it kind of blew up, and he's not someone that I followed, but in the past couple months, he's been writing a lot of more stuff that's been showing up on the various websites I go to, and obviously with Brett, he talked about it quite a bit.
What I was going to say about stuff like that, I mean, and that's why, like, some of my favorite interviews in the recent past have been with guys like Lou Schuler and stuff, because I think it's really fascinating to get an understanding of the fitness journalism industry, because we've kind of seen this very very good shift in the fitness writing industry in the last, 5-10 years, where people really are starting to concern themselves with education and understanding the human body, and it really becomes more of a physiology, anatomy, mechanics based field, as opposed to what it might have been, 20 years ago, where it was bodybuilders, this is what I do for my arms day and stuff like this, where everything was fairly anecdotal, and the general field was not really involved in reading research or even educating themselves. So you've got these personal trainers that don't have education, and everyone's kind of running around just, make your clients puke and sweat and whatever. So I think what has happened, and you see a lot of this in the writing, is that we're writing a lot of the same stuff, because now we're looking at what's right and what's wrong. We're not looking at this guy's workout, oh, how cool is that? We're looking now at why should you warm up, or why should you, include soft tissue assessment as a trainer, or whatever it is. And you're seeing this kind of almost like a scramble to be unique, because if everyone agrees on the majority of stuff, what are you doing as a writer to differentiate yourself and to make a splash? So you get these types of articles where there are guys coming out, either you could call it like an intellectual backlash, where they're saying, screw everyone, they don't know what they're talking about, and I've got the keys to the golden house. But or you could, just look at it as like a group of people, like readers doing that as well, saying, oh, here's this guy that's writing something completely different, so he must be onto something. And there are outliers everywhere. It doesn't matter what field you're in or what area you're in, there's always an outlier. There's always somebody that does not conform to the study or the research. That doesn't mean that you should listen to them because they're so unique as to be not even included in the majority, you know, the 97% of people that fall into the research study. So I really get cautious about stuff like that. There's such an overwhelming majority of research talking about the importance of a proper warm-up. And we can debate what that warm-up is, but none of us really thinks that you shouldn't warm up at all, except for this guy. And then, you know, the importance of like a periodization of looking at, you know, how you affect volume and intensity. And there's an enormous amount of research on that too. And we can all debate on what kind of periodization might work best at what points, except for this guy. He says, no, just bench all the time. You know what I mean? So I think you really have to be careful when you see someone that is just so outside of the norm and so outside of the general consensus of the field, and not because they're necessarily citing research either or claiming that all these things, well, here's the flaw in that study, here's the flaw in that study. They're basically saying, well, this works for me, so you should do it. That's you've got to think logically as the reader and say, if he's right, why is the entire field wrong? It's not to say that that never happens, but seriously, is it going to happen in this instance? You have to go into that, reading that article and taking away from that article the possibility and the likelihood that, well, maybe this isn't applicable to me.
Very well put. And I don't say that a lot about what you've been saying lately, but very well put.
Dickhead.
if you guys want to check out the article just for some insight, it's titled Max Out on Squats Every Day on T-Nation. Again, Brett wrote that one. He did a little section at the end called Other Bras Gems. And I don't even know how to pronounce his last name, but it's okay. I'm not going to lose sleep. Let's see. I found this interesting. Lunges suck and are very dangerous.
How's that?
It's all it says.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it might be definitely interesting that, you know, you can always talk about how someone writes an article in terms of making things sound sensational, right, or to get more clicks and stuff like that. I'm not accusing Brett of that. This is obviously what the dude said. So, he said, failing to train daily leads to more injuries due to the inconsistent recovery rates amongst different tissues. Different daily training is training under fatigued muscles. If you take days off, the muscles recover faster than other soft tissues, which increases the likelihood of injury. Again, that's, again, like you said, kind of going against what we've said or what the general, you know, the general population of strength coaches and trainers have been saying, at least from the group that we are a part of. Don't take days off if you have access to train. Even if you're incredibly sore, go in and do something, squat something, at least the bar for 30 reps or so. I'm not totally against that. I think that that's more like, you know, do something every day. Don't have to go max out on squats every day, though.
It's like an active recovery kind of thing, which we're not.
Active recovery is something completely different, though. It's like, right, you know, active recovery is like, all right, yeah, I'm going to go on the TRX, do some rows. I might do some, right, you know, just body weight lunges and stuff like that.
But that's, if you're going to squat 30 times with an empty bar and you have the strength to do that, then that's an active recovery. Yeah.
All right. I know, John, what else you want to talk about? What do you got?
I don't know. I ain't got nothing. I'm sick.
We're 33 minutes in. Maybe we can trying to think what has kind of popped up. We could have done some pulse stuff, but we don't do that much lately.
I know, we got to do the pulse. It's a very popular thing.
The pulse. All right, my dog is looking at me like he needs something. So I think that's where we're going to end it here. Right. Short show this week, and
but with a very important announcement that you almost dicked me over for.
Watch your language, Sean. People listen to this in the car with their kids, and
I've seen that on TV. Probably
seen what? What
the use of that word?
I don't know. You can't even say "goddamn" on TV.
Yeah, at least you can.
Only on cable.
Huh.
Not on you know, over the airs. You can't say the GD. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Please make sure you are subscribing on iTunes. And, you know, we didn't get you a huge episode this week, but we got you something, maybe some, you know, interesting discussions that can.
It was a roundtable sort of episode.
Yeah, and I definitely think that we will do more stuff like this in the future. We didn't have tons of time to prepare for today, but again, hopefully something is better than nothing, and you will start churning up some ideas on what the hell John does.
Right.
Doesn't just sit there all day and post news articles on Facebook. He's not all the time.
Not all the time.
So that's it. You can stick around if you want to listen to some off-topic discussion on Comic-Con, switching to a PC, and
Spider-Man
and Emma Stone. Take care and have a great week. Off topic. I'm with Jonathan Fass. Lee is at Lens Crafters.
Crafting lenses.
Yep, that is not nearly as funny the second time that you say it, John.
But to the audience, the first time that they heard it.
That doesn't matter. It's all, you know, perception.
Shut up, you dick.
For me, it's the second time. So, the couple things we can talk about. I've officially gone all Windows. I've ditched my MacBook Air and I've gone with a Lenovo S205 laptop, which was on sale.
Yeah. Usually people go the opposite way. They go from PC to Mac.
I know, but the original reason why I went Mac anyways was really just because to do the podcasting stuff back in like March of 2006, it just wasn't on Windows. I was like right when Windows Vista was coming out and it was crap. Like Windows Vista just didn't work. And
no, it doesn't.
It still doesn't, but Windows 7 is fantastic. And I've had a great experience with it ever since I got my Dell XPS 9100, and everything runs perfectly. It looks great. I love, like, I know where everything is, and if I ever do run into any kind of, like, oh, this isn't working properly, I know how to fix it. And going back to Windows, obviously, you get a lot more power for your buck, so I'm saving quite a bit of money going back to Windows than staying with the Mac, and, you know, with rent and, you know, car payments and vet bills, it helps to... it helps to, you know,
have money,
have extra cash. And I will say good news is that, Marty did get a clean bill of health a couple days ago. So he is fully heartworm free.
Excellent.
He's done with his treatment and he is running, taking him for a couple walks a day. And, you know, he gained 12 pounds in the 2 months.
Wow.
So he put on some poundage, but obviously that happens when you know, you go from walking whatever it was like an hour to an hour and 20 minutes a day to sit, basically restricting your movement altogether. Like we couldn't let him move much around the house and stuff. So,
right. That sounds like a men's health forms question. I gained 12 pounds in 2 months. How much of it is muscle?
Yeah. Oh man. Forms, dude.
Yeah.
It's hard to make a good web, like a good forum, no matter what the subject is about. But I just feel like any kind of fitness forum is always going to be like, you're either going to really, really love it or really, really hate it.
Yeah.
And there is no in between, like, oh yeah, I like to browse. You're either like a devoted part of that community or not at all.
Have you been on Mike Robertson's forums?
You know, I haven't. Oh no, I have. I have. When I was there, I poked in and out the first couple of weeks when I knew it was featuring Jonathan Fass.
Right.
I made sure to go in and out, and sometimes I go into the strength coach forums, and you know, again, it's like some of these questions or some of these debates. I'm like, are we really having this debate?
Mm.
Like, it's still one of those things. Like, it's good to know what people are talking about, but. But like John and I talked, you know, a couple hours before the show about stuff, and I'm like, I haven't even turned on my PlayStation 3 in 3 weeks to play a video game. I don't have time to go on a forum, man.
which is epic.
It's scary. The only thing I've watched some I watched Demolition Man last night on Netflix.
Wow, you got time for that? Okay.
Oh, there's always time for Demolition Man. I haven't seen that movie in probably 8 years. And it's much funnier watching it at age 25 than 17, like when it was on TV, like watching it with all the swears and him getting fined for, you know, violating like the community ordinance codes and stuff like that. And Sandra Bullock and them having like virtual reality sex and the three seashells. Like it's a great, like watching it, because it's like it's always like, you know, watching those movies where they kind of try to predict what the future would be like, or they want to project what they think the future will be like, and then you get to kind of check it out yourself, you know, with some kind of hindsight. We're obviously not in the year 2030 or whatever, but be like, yeah, things clearly aren't going this way. There was not a gigantic earthquake in California where half of California fell into the ocean in 2010.
No, there was not.
The great quake of 2010. And it's just stupid. Like Sandra Bullock, that was like in her prime. Like I can't stand her anymore, but that was like when
she was doing
Speed. Oh, she's charming as hell, but I don't think she's good. I don't think she's like good in movies really. Like I won't like Speed 2. Like she couldn't carry that. Jason Patrick wasn't going to carry that. Come on, man.
Oh, you're such an ass.
I mean, Speed 2.
Oh my God.
Actually not that bad, but, no, I think she's a smoke show. She's super charming. She's someone I would definitely take out to dinner. I would take her to the Taco Bell. And
lucky her.
Well, it's a Demolition Man reference. It was the restaurant wars of 2012 or something like that. So that, you know, that's actually a movie. If you have Netflix streaming, watch it. It's in HD and it's just like fast forward through like the fighting parts. Like those are kind of boring, but watch anything that's like just the commentary, like the characters talking with each other, because if you really think about it, that's like a really good theme for a story, John, like archetype. Like if you think about the, you know, the guy that is displaced from his own time or his own location, like the fish out of water set up.
You know what's amazing about this crap is that that's actually fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh no, it wasn't a bad movie at all when it came out. It got pretty good reviews. And that was again at the top of Stallone, and that was like right after that he did Daylight. Like he did like three movies back to back where they all took place in Los Angeles, and they all took place like in the future. Like there was Judge Dredd, which is being remade right now with McCoy from Star Trek.
Oh really? Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Then you obviously get Demolition in the Daylight.
Hollywood cannot get enough of the comic book.
Comic-Con was huge last week. That was a lot of good trailers came out, and you know what looks surprisingly good is and all they had was a poster, but Snow White with Kristen, the one from the Twilight movies.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, but it's like it's like star-studded. Like all the dwarfs are like huge movie stars, and it's all action. Like Snow White is like a knight. And they're all like knights, and then it's all like a medieval, like killing dudes and stuff. And also, what got really good buzz was the new, believe it or not, I haven't seen the first one, but the new, Nicolas Cage and the Flaming Skull.
Oh, man. Seriously?
Something Rider, something Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider sequel. It's getting tons of buzz. And
really?
Like, no, like legit. Like people are like, oh, my God, this looks really good. And guess what? Guess who's directing it?
I don't know. The guy from Snatch.
No, but the two guys who directed Crank 1 and 2, who wrote and directed Crank 1 and 2.
Oh, my God. By the way, I saw Crank. That was the biggest piece of crap.
For the first time?
That. Yeah.
Oh, John, you're such
It was on the plane, and I was like, all right, I'll watch this. Oh, my God, was that worthless.
How is that a bad movie? How is that a bad movie, John?
Come on, dude.
No, you like, come on, dude.
Like, I went into that knowing it was crap, and it was still crap.
What part of it was bad?
He screws her in the middle of Chinatown in San Francisco or whatever.
Gotta keep his heart rate up, man.
Oh, my God. It was so bad.
You're like Gentlecore. You're a movie snob, and
oh my God, it was.
You
so
think
bad.
Anything that doesn't, you know, that doesn't have like that's not part of the Criterion collection is a bad movie.
Oh my God, it was so bad.
You're wrong. It's okay, and that's why it's good to have different views on this show. We don't always agree on everything. No, I think you're totally incorrect. And even like I think Crank is a pretty fresh.
It might be.
Let's do a little live
look it.
Right now on
Crank was 61% fresh.
There you go. Boom.
Yep.
And I bet Crank 2 is even better. It was 62.
What was it? Yeah, Crank 2 was 62. Top critics were 29%, so this could not actually be a certified fresh movie.
God, Crank 2 only made $14 million.
Yeah.
But sorry, I get a text. I'm gonna put that on vibrate. And So, anyways, Crank 3 is supposedly coming out in 2014. So we gotta wait a couple of years. But
right, the most interesting trailer that has come out besides the Batman trailer is just.
Batman 1 wasn't interesting though, John. It was a trailer for Batman. You saw 2 seconds of footage.
Right. And that's enough. That's all I need. But no, the new Spider-Man trailer
looks legit.
Actually looks legit. And I don't want to say that because I did love the first two. And Spider-Man is what do you call it? Like, it's not dark. The way it seems to be coming is a little bit more like
it's light, dark. A lot lighter. No, I think it's lighter. Are you kidding? Compared to 3, where they try to do that emo stuff?
Dude. Compared to 1, it's a
yeah, Emma Stone
relaunch. Dude. Yeah.
I understand it's a reboot, but you got to keep in mind that, you know, even if you just look at the costume, like they're trying to make it much more approachable. And
yeah, well, but the one thing is that there is such a thing in they've redone a lot of Marvel comics. I forgot what that series is called because I don't read comics anymore, but I've read about it that they've actually gone back and kind of rebooted their own comic franchises as like for like new readers, for kids. They're not like child stories, but they're just more like modern tellings of it. So instead of, you know, Spider-Man being now he'd be like 60 years old, you know, because it was
no, they killed Spider-Man. Spider-Man's dead in the Marvel series.
And now it's
Peter Parker's dead.
Right? Yeah, and it's like his
clone. No, it's like an Asian kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Where was this?
It's the Marvel comics. I don't even follow comics that much, but I usually hear it from the various sources where I get information and entertainment from. Do you see the trailer for Drive? With Ryan Gosling, Heartthrob?
No, actually, I did not.
All right, you watch that. Well, I'll have you watch that before we record the main show because you really should. Also, what looks really good.
Oh, there you go. Look, Spider-Man's death.
Yeah, Spider-Man totally died.
Ultimate Spider-Man. Yeah, Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, Ultimate.
Yeah,
and yeah, that was even on MTV.
Yeah, the Ultimate Spider-Man is the relaunch, is the new one, I think. Mm-hmm. That's the one.
It's a couple years old, but yeah.
Wow. That's crazy, dude. That was my favorite comic. I think I'm going to need a moment.
That's why they do all these parallel universes reboots and stuff like that. It allows them to, it allowed them to do the whole civil war between the mutants. That was awesome. Like, that was one of those things where I actually, would go to the library and I would read those because it was a huge story arc where the Marvel characters were fighting against each other. And it was like good guys and bad guys on one side and good guys and bad guys on the other side. Like, it was messed up. Like, they were killing each other. But then someone went back in time and fixed it all or something like
right,
that.
Right, right, right. Yeah, Ultimate Spider-Man is... Wow.
They rebooted the whole Spider-Man like TV show right after the first Spider-Man came out on MTV, and it was really right. good.
Yeah, it was very good. I liked it a lot.
So, wow. Now that we said that... John, you're back from vacation, so what are you doing? You just trying to get sick?
Yeah, pretty much. I woke up yesterday actually not feeling so great, and I was kind of denying it. And then I woke up today, I was like, holy hell, I feel like crap. Mm-hmm. So, so I'm sick, which is wonderful, but we're back from vacation from our 1 month, 32 days. Go on my Facebook and look at all the pictures. Because there's some cool ones in there. And kind of liking this photography thing. And that's it. We went to Sharm el Sheikh in Egypt. We went to Spain. We went to Cannes. And we went to Paris.
Cool.
Yeah.
John didn't invite me, so.
No, you were invited. My boss didn't.
Did you see the trailer for the new Adam Sandler movie where he plays the
mystery boss, which at this point in the recording, not in our discussion, but in the recording, we will have announced the contest. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Because we always record the off-topic first.
More exciting for John than me.
Pretty much.
All right, let's wrap it up there, and hopefully this new recording software worked.
That'd be nice.